Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, syndicating across the country on the Business Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio, WYBC.com, and 1490 AM WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business, along with the business of politics and sports. A poster child for the Enron, WorldCom, Tyco era of corporate greed and fraud, or the victim of prosecutors run amok. The infamous $6,000 shower curtain, the $2 million birthday party with the ice statue of Michelangelo urinating vodka, the tragic fall of Tyco CEO Dennis Kozlowski. Was it prosecutorial abuse that led to the railroading of a legendary CEO? In his only broadcast interview since release from prison, setting history straight, a Biz Talk exclusive today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Dennis Kozlowski was a 27-year veteran of Tyco, the last 10 years serving as CEO, building one of the most successful growth machines in the history of corporate America, thousands of acquisitions until the downfall and a prison sentence of unprecedented length, serving more time than murderers. This interview is based in part on a book by Northern Kentucky University's College of Business Ethics Professor Catherine Neal, the book Taking Down the Lion, The Triumphant Rise and Tragic Fall of Tyco's Dennis Kozlowski. We're honored to have you. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Nice to be here this morning.
Okay, it's good to put this whole experience in perspective, because the whole corporate lynching era from then, we're beyond that. An incredible record. You started at $20 million in revenues, built it to $40 billion, 40 quarters of increased profits, and that's 10 years, and you served 10 years. So that's pretty consistent record. And yet the legacy obscured by the shower curtain and other things. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel good about my 27 years at Tyco and the record we put together for our shareholders and the amount of growth we had there during that time. And I feel that I put the era of my prosecution and what I went through in back of me now. That was some time ago. And I'm off to a new start, doing other things and moving on from where I was. So I'm into the next chapter of my life and well into it.
Okay, we're going to get to that. Let's talk about those two things quickly that obscured the legacy and the myth around them. The $6,000 shower curtain, explain it a little bit. You never even saw it.
No, I never saw that. That was a decorator who installed a shower curtain, from what I understood. And I only got to understand that at the time that, you know, I was indicted by the Manhattan DA. So never saw it. No, wouldn't know it if it fell on me.
Now, that place was $18 million plus $10 million of renovations, for which you were planning to use for a couple of days a month, right? Why? Would you need that?
Well, Jim, no, we're going back to something a very long time ago. And as I said, I really moved on from that era of my life. But we were doing a lot of deals in New York at the time, and we couldn't be seen in public. The internet was starting. If other CEOs or people who had investment opportunities were coming in to visit me, you'd be reading about it on the internet. That was affecting stock prices, and that was affecting our ability to do deals. So we wanted a place where we could hide away, that it was Manhattan real estate, it was going to appreciate, that ultimately really wouldn't cost us anything through appreciation. And we did a number of deals in that apartment. So it was really...
It's more than paid for the apartment.
Yeah, it was really a corporate headquarter of sorts where we did it. And I think at the end of the day, after I left Tyco, the apartment was sold for more money than was into it.
And I will say that the first problem arose because of the paintings that were installed. Sales tax wasn't paid, and you were kind of held accountable for that. But normally the seller is, not the buyer. So it seemed to be almost, unfair attack.
Sure. Well, and those charges were later dismissed against me.
Exactly. So. On the birthday party, the only question there is, it's sort of blurring of personal and corporate. You actually paid for all the personal.
That's
part,
correct.
But
right.
Again, in retrospect, A, you didn't know that it was going to be that sort of off the wall, right? The theme and all that.
Well, yeah, the theme, well... The DA managed to put a couple segments from, from a get together and play it up. There were children at the party. There were directors of mine at the party. It was no big deal. It was a couple hour event in the middle of other things going on, and all expenses associated with that were personally paid for by me.
Okay, you were accused of basically stealing $170 million from Tyco through undocumented secret loans, et cetera. The sentence ended up, you were in prison, I think, for over 100 months. The average homicide is 52 months. They tried to charge you under a RICO, which is, criminal enterprise, mafia, and I guess all 80 of those charges were shut out. You were tried by a state, not the federal. All this was documented, though, by Price Waterhouse and your board.
The bonuses were all on the books and records of the company, yes. Yes, and the bonuses were all audited by outside auditors. So all that was there. I was accused and convicted of not having the bonuses appropriately approved by directors.
Why they call it stealing your own bonuses.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Your assets were frozen for 11 years?
They were, yes. That's one of the things I think most people don't know. That the DA has enormous amounts of power. They can freeze your assets and make it extremely difficult for you to function when you are indicted. So your ability to hire legal counsel, to pay your bills, to function as as a normal person is rapidly taken away well before you're convicted. So you're not convicted of anything at that time, and yet your assets are suddenly frozen. Checks you wrote to the electric company and to the fuel company, to whoever, begin to bounce as soon as they freeze your assets. And this is done well before anybody's convicted, before you show up in court, before you do anything. So there's an awful lot of prosecutorial power that really handicaps somebody in their ability to defend themselves.
When you're supposed to be presumed innocent at that time. Looking back, do you feel that you were railroaded? Do you feel remorseful?
Jim, I think this whole incident is best told by a third party. And that third party in this case is Professor Catherine Neal from Northern Kentucky University, who I did not know before all this happened, who was teaching ethics courses at her university. She was trying to figure out what went on at Tyco. She took a sabbatical to research it. She interviewed the DA. She interviewed jurors. She interviewed employees of the company. And she came to her own conclusions. And her conclusions were, which I agree with, her conclusions were nothing criminal, went on. Sure, there was some bad judgment, but this was the 90s, too, that we were talking about. Our growth was spectacular, and there was some bad judgment, but Professor Neal, I think, really came to the right conclusions, and it's well documented in her book.
Very well documented. And also, I asked her point blank. She said that told her to pursue the truth 100% wherever it led.
Yes, I had no influence whatsoever wherever she was going.
All right, let's talk about some of the factors now in our remaining couple of minutes. Timing. You were long done with Enron and all that, but those companies all went belly up.
That's correct.
Tyco was a profitable, hugely successful entity at the same time, so bad luck?
Tyco thrived to this day. I have not been able to track what others have done with Tyco well after I left it. But it was wildly successful and continues to be wildly successful today. It's broken up into a number of other companies, but it's done extremely well.
Now, what about sometimes, successes and downfall can be the same traits, right? You were very successful motivating your folks by a decentralized philosophy, by profit incentives, et cetera. But you weren't in touch with a lot of the stuff, a lot of the things we just talked about, right? You didn't really know were going on the curtain and all that stuff. So was it kind of, some of your downfall brought about by the qualities made you successful?
Sure. We had a very small corporate staff. We believed in finding the best people we can around the world to run our businesses and keeping our corporate staff very small and non-bureaucratic. So we had 260,000 people worldwide running businesses in over 60 different countries. There's no way one person's going to have a handle with that kind of growth. You really have to delegate and really have to decentralize and find entrepreneurial types to run the businesses. So a lot of the details were not known by people back at headquarters.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Business Talk Radio Network. Over 300 stations around the country. You can go to biztalkradio.com, find the nearest station to you, to listen over the internet, access our archives of podcast. Coming next, the rise of Dennis Kozlowski.
This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's financial hardship program. Call 800-790-5988. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-790-5988. That number, 800-790-5988. Call now, 800-790-5988.
What could you do with a $100 Visa gift card? A lot, right? $100 can get you a lot of things, including peace of mind. We're Alliance Home Security, and we give our customers peace of mind and $100 Visa gift cards. Right now, and only through this exclusive radio offer, we're giving every homeowner who has us install our home security system and signs up for our monitoring service a $100 Visa gift card. No tricks, no gimmicks, just a world-class home security system installed in your home for free, and you receive a $100 Visa gift card. Put this number in your smartphone or just call us right now. 1-800-528-5518. That's 1-800-528-5518. Ask us to install your home security system and get a $100 Visa gift card. 1-800-528-5518. Free same-day installation and a $100 Visa gift card. 1-800-528-5518. Call right now.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, Call 800-605-5370.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with former Tyco CEO Dennis Kozlowski, recently a free man after a long stint in prison for alleged corporate misdeeds. I want to talk a little bit about where you came from, because you came from a long way from, metaphorically, from Wall Street, South 10th Street in Newark.
Yes.
Just a little bit. And you grew, and you slept on a cot in your house.
I did, yes. We were pretty poor growing up, but you know, we didn't know that. I had two sisters, and we lived in a four-room apartment, a cold water flat, you know, where there's one coal stove in the kitchen.
Wow.
No shower in the place, a bathtub. And my sisters and I shared a room. My sisters had the bed and I had the cot. You know, so you know, that was life for about 10 or 12 years for us.
Where'd that drive come from then?
You know, it's hard to tell, Jim. I really don't know. But as I got to college and got to other people's homes in the suburbs or in the city, you know, I saw there's, you know, a big world out there that I didn't know about, and I was driven to do better, to achieve, and I think that was some of it.
Do you ever think at the end you lost track of some of those values in terms of, you know, $6,000 shower curtain, which you didn't buy, I agree.
Yeah.
But that, you know, the level of what appeared to be kind of greed versus where you came from, that a little bit too much?
The shower curtain or, you know, whatever those material things existed. Yeah. It really, I was blind to that. I was so focused on growing Tyco. I was traveling 80% of the time. Life for me was an airplane and a hotel.
You didn't let go of your values, in other words.
I did. Right. I was living in, living for the company, and everything was dedicated, you know, to
let's talk
to
about the
company.
About the company. Now, what was your sort of vision for Tyco? And, you know, I'm a huge Buffett fan and a Jack Welch fan, and you kind of built sort of a conglomerate. What tell us your growth strategy, and how did you do it so fast? How did you integrate so many acquisitions?
I had an excellent team of people, and I was able to build a team, both at the small corporate staff we had and of the people running our operations, running our divisions. And in doing that, people were able to grow their own divisions using a model that we initially put together. And that model was accretive acquisitions within the segment of businesses that we were in at that time. And, and that growth came from people that were part of the team. No one person could do it. You really need a group of people to make that happen.
Now, you seem to have done a brilliant job on taking a company that was sort of industrial with cyclicality and smoothing that out, right? I mean, you had a real strategy to build more consistent earning streams.
Yes, and healthcare was a big part of that strategy. And we had a vision that healthcare would be meaningful to the company, and that's what we did.
You had a 10-year term, which obviously probably would have been longer if it could have been, and Welch had a 20-year term. Most corporations, very small terms. You think it's important to get that long of a runway?
I think 10 years is probably, you know, someplace between 8 and 12 years is probably about the right time, you know, for a CEO. Anything longer than that, I think when you're denying opportunities to other people, to move along in the organization, and two, you know, after 8 or 10 or 12 years, you really start believing your own press. And I think, if there were term limits in the corporations, though, around 10 years is probably about the right time.
How many folks did you have in corporate, by the way?
We had about 60 people in corporate.
Wow. See, Buffett has 23. So it's that's pretty amazing. GE's the opposite in my mind. They've got, you know, reams of guys running around doing Six Sigma internal audits.
Yes.
That's where you came up. Was GE a template for you?
GE's a template of being number one and number two in your businesses. A template, yeah, because if you're number one or number two, you make less mistakes, you know, in the business. And so, you know, from that standpoint, we really like the GE model.
The other side of whether you try to be like GE was they built GE Capital during Welch's time as a huge machine, which they're now divesting. Another thing that I thought I was impressed by was you stayed within your circle of competence. You didn't just buy hodgepodge things. So was the acquisition of CET to try to build the GE Capital?
And it was.
Was that a mistake, obviously?
That was a mistake, obviously. That was you could do 1,000 good acquisitions, and you remember it for the 1,000 good ones. Then you go off and do one bad one, and that's it. You know, so you erase the success of 1,000 great or good acquisitions. And
why didn't it work? Just because the market changed and the credit agents?
It changed pretty much because of Enron. Rating agencies had Enron rated as a AAA or whatever the rating was. It was a top-notch rating. The rating agencies did what they said they wouldn't do. They downgraded the CIT rating because it was owned by Tyco, and the thought was Tyco could somehow, some way raid the CIT cash. And in the process of doing that, they downgraded CIT, and CIT bought its money on overnight commercial paper, so their rates went up. Once their rates went up, the spread between what they're paying for money and what they're loaning money out.
Their business model went down.
Yeah, it's like squeezing a margin right out of the
business.
Model went
down. Yeah. Was it a mistake to get out of your knitting then?
It was. In retrospect, that was a mistake.
Okay, now, you had this bonus system there that was, to me, well-documented. I know Catherine said that it was hard for the jury to understand, which I agree. But it's actually pretty clearly laid out, and the board had to lay it out. Why didn't the board support you? Why did they almost pretend they didn't know that some of this bonus stuff was going on?
I think the board was concerned about their own selves. You know, I was indicted. Our CFO was indicted. Our chief legal counsel was indicted. A director was indicted. And I think, you know, with everybody being, with the amount of people being indicted, every director was, you know, protecting themselves. And I think anybody that came forward to, you know, to try and support me, you know, would have risked some, you know, some problems.
So the truth was lost, in other words, by people covering
their
asses.
And other directors literally fled the country.
All right, don't be modest here now. The growth machine was unbelievable. What was the skills, the set of skills that made you more successful than anybody else really in doing this?
I think it was the discipline of the acquisitions. You had to find a company that you really believe you could grow. Nobody ever sold us a company because they were doing well. They sold us a company because they did really well at one time and something went wrong. And if we could fix that which went wrong and go back to the company it once was, we were interested in the acquisition.
Were you good at seeing that? Was it financial, sort of, you could just see through a balance sheet or something? What, or culture of the management? What?
We were good at turning back time at a company. If, for example, you know, you had a superior medical product, and with that medical product, you know, you were able to capture big market shares, but then you started building on that, things that you didn't know much about, or you went higher up the food chain for healthcare. If we could go in and strip out where you went up higher up the food chain and return back to your knitting, you know, to basically what you were doing, we saw that as a tremendous opportunity.
Okay, in a few seconds now, on the non-modest side, you were there in 10 years of huge binge growth in the U.S. as well.
Oh, the wind was at our back.
So the wind was at your back, and then, of course, when you left, it went the other way. But you think you still added a lot more value than just the wind, right?
Oh, sure. We outperformed all the markets, all the indexes, you know, all the time. We had growth at 50, 60% a year. So that beat, you know, any measurement by far in the markets.
And as I say, you were Business Week CEO of the Year and on several several rankings like that. Business Talk with Jim Campbell, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern, again 10 to 11 p.m. Go to biztalkradio.com. Coming next, we'll look into the tragic fall of one of the year's top CEOs.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 90.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-4128 and get your free bottle. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-4128. That's 800-554-4128.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom12.com right now and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom12.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 12.com. Go to freedom12.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom12.com.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back. The book about this case, which is a great book, Catherine Neal, Taking Down the Lion, The Triumphant Rise and the Tragic Fall of Tycho's Dennis Kozlowski. She's done an incredibly detailed job on essentially backing up the concept that there was railroading here done by prosecutorial abuse. Now, having said that, let me beat you up a little bit. One of the big issues was all these secret loans and the bonuses not approved and whatever. Did you not build Tycho's infrastructure up from a mom and pop? Did you outgrow that capability? And did you blur lines too much that you almost did use it as kind of a piggy bank?
I think we were paid in stock. And part of 90% of our compensation was in stock. And once you're awarded stock, you have an immediate tax liability that needs to be paid to the government. So I inherited a system where you were able to take loans from the company. In fact, the system inherited by my team when I became CEO was the loans at the time were at 2%, and we changed that to market rates for interest rates for the company. And mind you, too, I was not convicted on anything to do with loans. That was not part of anything prosecutable. And there were no loan convictions there. However, having said that, we did take loans so that we wouldn't have to sell stock. And in the process of doing that, monies were used basically for taxes, but monies came from different pockets for different things. So I was permitted to take a loan at the rate of my tax liability, and those loans were reported. Those loans were in the proxies or where they needed to be at the time.
And as you know, one of the things that sort of the prosecutors in a conspiracy sense, because it wasn't true, was that you had these loans outstanding, and then you got a bonus from a big deal, and part of that bonus paid off the loan.
That's
so
correct.
They're saying, oh, you gave yourself a bonus to pay your loans off.
They're saying I gave myself a bonus and to forgive my loans, but I earned the bonus by the formula, and as opposed to paying me, the bonus went to pay down the loans.
Now, let me ask you this, because I beat Catherine up a little bit on this one, which is these KELP loans, which is what we're talking about, the key employee loans.
Right.
It got to a rather sizable level, and the 10-Ks and 10-Qs, which is the SEC filing, that stuff's supposed to be revealed, right?
Yes.
And I don't think it was ever listed that it might be more material than the non-material. And that might not look good.
The loans and the documentation to that all went through our finance and legal departments. It went to outside attorneys, and whatever needed to be...
So you assumed, in other words...
Yeah, whatever needed to be... to be disclosed, in my mind, was disclosed. Right. Whatever didn't need to be disclosed, right, wasn't.
You weren't
disclosed.
Sitting around saying, don't tell the SEC that.
I spent zero amount of time, on what's disclosure and disclosure. That's way outside of my ability.
Here's one that just makes no sense to me. You had a board member that brought CIT to you. You agreed to give them a finder's fee, an investment banking fee. What the heck was wrong with that?
It beats me. He was an investment banker.
Yeah.
That's what he did for a living.
And that's that's a normal course of business. And you're also
correct.
Authorized to decide what to pay the investment bankers.
That's correct.
And here's another one that blows me away, that allegedly you made 700 acquisitions for $8 billion that you never bothered to disclose. How can anybody make 700 acquisitions that nobody knows about?
Yeah. There were small security acquisitions and other acquisitions. And once again, whatever needed to be disclosed was disclosed, and whatever wasn't. But I wasn't the person reading those regulations and disclosing that, but I firmly believe that whatever needed to be disclosed in our organization was. Nobody ever told anybody not to disclose something.
By the way, something that does bother me, but all corporations do it, has nothing to do with any illegality, which is Frank Walsh was the name of this gentleman. You knew him, and he was chairman of the compensation committee, right? And CEOs always seem to have friends that are chairman of the compensation committee, but you're not, that wasn't something you did differently or whatever. But yeah. Do you agree that maybe it shouldn't be that way, ideally?
It's hard to distinguish who's a friend and who isn't. Yeah. I mean, the label of friend, I've never been to Frank's house. We never socialized. So I think friend was something that the media put
That's
in.
A corporate governance thing. I don't mean to be mixed. Yeah. Let's talk now about the other abuses, prosecutorial, the media, and even Wall Street. On the first sense, the prosecutors, the feds decided not even to charge you, and the local DA did, which seems very unusual to me. And the third guy, Belnick, who was your chief legal officer, was acquitted.
Yes.
Talk about the abuse for a sec of the prosecutors. I know you've talked about the assets.
Well, the prosecutors have unlimited abilities here to do what they please for as long as they want to do it. And we went to trial. Our first trial resulted in a hung jury. The judge declared a mistrial. And then Mark Belnick went to trial, and he was acquitted of all charges. And then we went back to trial again. In my sense, the prosecutors weren't going to give up until they arrived at a conviction. And everybody learns something from the first trial. I think the prosecutor was using jurors from the first trial as consultants to them, in the second trial.
On the Wall Street side, the shorts, the folks betting against you, seem to me to be spreading rumors that about the manipulating earnings, the spring loading, meaning putting a lot of restructuring charges in acquisitions so it would look good down the road. None of which was true, and not much you could control about it.
No, there's not much you can do about shorts. When the shorts decide to raid your stock, and we had a good multiple, there was meat on the bones. We had a good multiple at a time that other multiples were shrinking. And it was a big opportunity for the shorts.
By the way, you had $5 billion of free cash flow, but compared to the Enrons and the other folks that were, you did not have off balance sheet liabilities, right? That were sort of hidden.
There were rumors.
The media spread that maybe you were quitting. The company was inches from bankruptcy. The SEC was investigating you. You had off balance sheet stuff like Enron, and none of those are true.
None of them are true. And in fact, there's a front page story in one of the major newspapers that we were doing swaps the way Global Crossing and others were doing swaps. I saw the story one Sunday morning. Said we never did a swap, and that's a way of putting earnings on your income statement without really a transaction happening.
You take the
and then 2 weeks later there's a retraction. They really didn't do that. So
this was a perfect storm.
It was. It really was.
How did you keep your sanity?
I just stayed focused, and kept.
Did you really believe you were going to get off?
I believe I was going to get acquitted. Yes, in the second trial. Yes. Yeah.
Now at that time, Anderson, as you know, imploded for having signed off on all of Enron stuff, right?
That's correct.
Price Waterhouse was your guys. Should they have had some culpability in any of this? If they're making the case there were no controls, et cetera.
No, I don't think Price Waterhouse deserved any culpability. In this, I think they worked hard. They focused on what they needed to do, and I believe the people in our company were honest. With that.
Well, let me ask it this way: if the prosecutors were correct that what you did was criminal, how could the board and Price Waterhouse not be held accountable? In other words, you didn't do it to begin with. But I'm saying if they believe you did do it and you're going to be convicted on it, your board and the Price Waterhouse is essentially signing off on that behavior.
Yeah, but the point here is we didn't do it.
No, I know
so,
that.
I see your theory.
It's a logical inconsistency, is what I'm saying.
Of course
they
it
can't
is.
Say you're guilty and these guys had nothing to do with it because they would have the culpability. Just like you would.
Yes.
As we get down to the end of this, did you have a lot of anger at your board? Did you have the wrong guys on the board? Or I guess what people need to understand, which is amazing, is 6 months before this happened, everything was going great. Everything. And you were there for 27 years, and the board basically spat you out in just a couple of months.
Oh, it's more than that, Jim. We showed letters in the court of support from the board a month before, 1 month before I was indicted. We saw letters that, you know, we need you here for another 5 years, make sure you re-sign up. So the board was highly supportive from evidence we showed in court at that time. So I was extremely disappointed. And the bottom line, yes, you know, we should have had a better board. We should have had a stronger, more capable board.
And I might say that the prosecutors were so ruthless, they didn't allow your daughter, who was a lawyer, to sit at your table, right, because they thought that might get some sympathy.
That's correct, yeah. My daughter, who's passed the bar exam, is educated and a highly skilled lawyer, was kept from sitting in a well, for fear that the juries would be sympathetic toward me.
This is Talk with Jim Campbell, coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio, WYBC, and 1490 AM, WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut. We'll talk next about after the fall from grace.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
What could you do with a $100 Visa gift card? A lot, right? $100 can get you a lot of things, including peace of mind. We're Alliance Home Security, and we give our customers peace of mind and $100 Visa gift cards. Right now, and only through this exclusive radio offer, we're giving every homeowner who has us install our home security system and signs up for our monitoring service a $100 Visa gift card. No tricks, no gimmicks, just a world-class home security system installed in your home for free, and you receive a $100 Visa gift card. Put this number in your smartphone or just call us right now. 1-800-528-5518. That's 1-800-528-5518. Ask us to install your home security system and get a $100 Visa gift card. 1-800-528-5518. Free same-day installation and a $100 Visa gift card. 1-800-528-5518. Call right now.
Musicians, it's Guitar Center's winter clearance event. Your chance to get 2015 Gibson guitars at unheard-of clearance prices. Check out over 250,000 guitars, amps, drums, keyboards, and more marked down for this event, including all 2015 Gibson USA guitars. Save up to 60% on leftover special buys, demos, open box, and more. Massive savings on brands like Marshall, Fender, Yamaha, and Zildjian. But remember, each location has its own selection, and it's first come, first served. Guitar Center's winter clearance. Now through Sunday, don't miss it.
This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's financial hardship program. Call 800-790-5988. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-790-5988. That number, 800-790-5988. Call now, 800-790-5988.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with Dennis Kozlowski, the deposed lion of Tyco. You went to what you call a gated community at a mid-state correctional facility, and you became the laundry czar.
I did.
Tell us about prison.
The laundry job I quickly recognized was probably the best job in prison. It kept me out of my cell.
So you're always a good business guy.
About 9 hours a day. Yeah, it paid 85 cents a day. So it was probably one of the higher paying jobs there. But I was able to do laundry, pick up, deliver laundry, and read books within the laundry room while the washing machines and dryers were doing their work. So I raised my hand for that job and ultimately wound up doing it.
How did you survive over 100 months when you saw kidnappers, rapists, murders going in and out?
Not reading. I did it through two things. I read every biography, fiction, nonfiction book I could get my hands on or sent in to me. And I had wonderful support from family, from friends.
My wife Kimberly is sitting right
from
here.
Kimberly, yes.
And by the way, she's very supportive. You can't see. She's nodding on all throughout throughout this. We're laughing a little bit about that, but what were the worst moments?
I think the worst moments are the holidays, having Thanksgivings and Christmas and, that time in jail. The worst moments were when my daughters got married, my grandchildren were born, not being there for those events. Things that center around family times where my daughter suffered a significant injury while traveling in Bali, a life-threatening injury, and I wasn't able to reach out or contact her. I was communicating through Kimberly, to my daughter. There's some pretty horrific moments, while there.
You gave a building to Seton Hall where you went, and they took your name off of it. How does that hurt?
Well, no, I asked them to take my name off of Jim. Yeah, yeah.
But you didn't ask for your money back, probably.
No, I didn't. I think, why stir up controversy or why put the administration in a position that they, have something that they, would have a tough time defending.
How did your health hold up through all this?
My health was generally pretty good. I did have one incident where I had a heart issue, but I came out of it fine. But it's no place to be if you're sick or have a health issue.
Probably not a very healthy meal.
No, the food was horrible.
Now, on the finance side, you paid. We talked. Your assets were frozen for 11 years. You paid $167 million in fines. How did you survive financially?
I had to sell off my assets and pay the fines and pay the restitution. So I sold my homes. I sold what I had and satisfied all the debts.
And you're making money now?
I'm back working now. Yes, I'm doing merger and acquisition work, some business consulting work. I have some wonderful clients, and I'm back in the swing of things.
You're not going to go buy a bunch of companies?
No, not personally.
No Tyco Jr.?
Yeah, no.
Do you have let's talk a little bit about reform items, PRISM and then governance. You sat in there. Do you have ideas for a prison reform? Or there's a lot of waste going on, right, of talent, and folks go back out on the street with nothing.
Prison reform should be high on everybody's agenda because it's such a drain on society. Yeah. Now, I'm involved in the Fortune organization, which helps people coming out of jail to get back on their feet, providing housing, job training, and ultimately jobs. And that's really what needs to be done. People need a place to live as they're going through a transition until they can become taxpayers themselves. And we do a lot of that at Fortune. We helped, I think, 7,000 or 8,000 people last year alone.
Now, you were obviously successful as a laundry czar in all you did. You were turned down for parole, though, the first time.
I was, yes. I was turned down for work release.
What was that based on?
I certainly met all the requirements.
On corporate governance, do you have ideas there? You actually were innovative in appointing a lead director long before that was popular. Do you think the chairman and CEO role should be split? How would you define independence?
Sure. I do not think the chairman and CEO role should be split. I believe that any time I've seen that role split, I've seen dysfunction at the top.
Hewlett-Packard.
That's a good example.
It's the best example.
Yeah, a good example. But I do like the idea of lead director, where directors can put things on an agenda through somebody other than the CEO.
You were blamed for conflicts of interest, et cetera, but a lot of the board members were getting money from the company for different reasons, so that seems to be kind of spurious. Do you think there needs to be any board reform where none of that can go on? There's a trade-off, isn't there, between pure independence and actually understanding the business, which you have to understand,
yes.
You say? So
yes.
Where do you come down on how to balance that?
You really need to find strong, competent directors. The demand is greater than the supply in that area, so once you start compromising on directors, moving down in abilities or skills or experience, it becomes difficult.
It's clearly you did nothing of a criminal nature, as we've been talking about, and the company was highly successful. The stock price was successful until you hit to the 2001 crisis, 9/11, and Internet. Financial crisis of 2008, criminal behavior everywhere, if you ask me, selling fraudulent CD crap junk, right, which they knew was going in there. No one has gone to jail for 2008.
Yeah. That says it all, right? I mean, it was a different time in 2001, 2002, after Enron and WorldCom. And then you get to 2008, and it's even worse than that because failed companies were borrowing money from the government to pay big bonuses to people who made the decisions that failed the companies. That's what really blows my mind.
A lot of Americans lost 40% of their 401ks. So.
That's correct. Yes.
Now, you were a workaholic. Where you are now, what are the lessons you feel you learned, and who are you now?
The growth that we pushed at the time was unnecessary. We could have grown the company at 30 or 40% of the rate that we were growing it at and had a wildly successful company and a lifestyle. I had no balance back then. My whole life was all about the company. That was a huge mistake and a big lesson learned. I think any enterprise to be successful needs the right amount of balance. You can't have a CEO who's just pushing it all of the time and expecting everybody around him to be to be pushing at the same rate. So I think that was my biggest takeaway here. I pushed too hard, too fast, too long.
All right. Thanks to Dennis Kozlowski. That was a hugely fast hour. And really appreciate him coming by because he's keeping a low profile. He's not doing interviews. So it really means a lot that you've done this and to see you doing so well after being railroaded for so long is a good thing, obviously. Thanks to Catherine Neal again for the book, Taking Down the Lion, The Triumphant Rise and the Tragic Fall of Tyco's Dennis Kozlowski. And if you read it in detail, you're going to have a hard time wondering what the heck he was charged with. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Stay with us as we go into overtime now. Thanks to Dennis Kozlowski. Thanks to our national audience for listening, and we'll see you next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.